What are you sowing? Sowing is very important, isn't it? We spend our whole lives sowing seed. We may not even realize we're sowing seed, but we are. We're going to be in Luke tonight. We're going to be in Galatians tonight. Talk about how important our seed is of what we're sowing. Go to the next slide, Brennan. There are three ways in which we sow seed. Three major ways in which all of us sow our seed. And the problem with us sowing seed is we think that we can get a different harvest than what we planted. And that's never the case. We want a different harvest. We want to blame other people for our harvest. But we're the responsible people that sow our seed. These are the three ways in how we sow our seed. Number one, we sow the seed by how we think. Our thoughts toward God and toward others. Now let's talk about this for a minute. How can I sow a seed with my mind? Well, where does jealousy and strife and envy and anger and prejudice, where does that originate? In our thoughts, in our mind. We could not like someone just because of the way they look. It's in here. I don't like you because of the way you look. You don't look like me, I don't like you. I'm not going to show you any love. Or jealous over someone. Whatever the case, we sow seeds by how we think toward God and toward others. God is not going to force himself on us. If we don't want God's blessings, okay, fine. We don't want God's favor, fine. That's our choice. We don't want to do what God calls us to do or tells us in his word to do and live by our own rules, fine. He's not going to force himself. So we sow seeds by how we think. We sow seeds by how we speak. Words to or about someone. That's a lot of seed sowing there. Because those words are powerful. And those words don't come back void. Those words we speak can bring life. They can bring death. They can bring victory. They can bring destruction. Those words that we speak toward others, or here's the more important key for all of us, about others. And man, we've all done that. And we're sowing those seeds. When no one knows we're talking about them, maybe we're saying something we shouldn't say about them, and we're sowing seed in the ground. Seed that we're going to reap. You know, I heard of, and we're all been guilty of this, if you've been a parent. Except for me, I was a golden child. But for most kids, you say this about your kids. I heard a minister saying, be careful what you say even about your kids when they're not hearing you. Boy, we could take back some words there, huh? Because if you're a mom and dad raising them girls, Gail, I'm sure you and the missus had plenty of conversations about them girls, didn't you? You're like, man. And we're sowing those seeds because those seeds have life. Those words have life. We have started wars with words. Look at how social media has taken over the landscape of the world. The words we speak on social media, there's cyberbullying now through words. There's you know, our politics are articulated through social media and the words we use. And everybody knows how we stand by the words we post, the words we share. And those words can enrage anger, or those words can bring peace and love. So we sow our seeds by what we speak. The third way is we sow our seeds, of course, by how we live. Actions toward God and toward others. So we sow seeds with our thoughts. We sow seed with our words. We sow seed with our actions, with our lives. And we have a choice, church. We can't blame others for seeds that we've sown. It's important that we recognize and own up to, we're the farmer. You know, we didn't have one single carrot in our garden this year. Not one carrot came up. You know why no carrots came up? Right. Didn't plant no carrots. So how can I go out there and get a carrot if I didn't plant it? And if you better plant a garden, you got to cultivate it. You got to water it. You got to weed it out. You got to keep the wild beast out of it. Whatever it is, you got to take care of it. You don't just plant seeds in April and then go back out in August. What happened? It's dead. Yeah, it's dead. You didn't do anything to it. With our life in Christ and the seeds that we sow, they've got to be cultivated. Our words have to be cultivated. Our actions have to be cultivated. Our thoughts have to be cultivated. So we have to be very careful the seeds we sow. Let's get into scriptures. This is Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. And we're starting right out of the gate pretty strong. This is Jesus talking. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. It's easy to do good to those that do good to you. I love Joe Brown. He told me for 15 years, I pray for you and your family, the church, every night. For 15 years, I lift the church up, you and your family. I can love that easy. But Doc's cursing the church, not really. Praying against its existence. Spreading lies about me and my family. Spreading lies about what I preach. Talking bad about me. That's a little harder to pray for a man like that. God bless Mr. Joseph Brown. The Ohioan, my favorite Ohioan who, excuse me, Doc. My favorite Ohioan who loves me and prays for me. I love him so much. But then to say, Lord, pray for the one that's praying against me. Lord, I lift up the one that hates me. I lift up the one that's trying to cause discourse. God, I pray. That's what's hard. This is what Jesus is saying. Well, church, we can start praying for those who hate us. We've crossed a threshold of faith that we didn't have before. Next verse, he goes on to say, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Pray for them. See, when we allow anger towards someone or bitterness to set in, we're the captive, not them. We're the prisoner, not them. It's causing us distress, not them. Forgiveness is about releasing our spirit so that we can be blessed and hear from God. Not about setting the other person free as much as it's setting us free. Because we know if you've ever been mad at someone or angry with someone, it can absolutely rule your life. And we weren't meant to be that way. So if we start blessing our enemies, guess what? That's out of there. Next verse. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other one. The church, we know, we're not talking about somebody comes, slaps Doc, and you, hey, that felt good, slap me again. We're not talking about that. Jesus is saying when someone hurts you, don't hurt them back. Just don't hurt them back, because when you hurt them back, you have completely negated the mess you're trying to send to that person. Once again, easy to slap someone back. I saw a Facebook post by Octopus. Thought it was so funny. It says, I wish I was an octopus. I could slap 8 people at the same time. Now, a lot of us feel that way, don't we? Just get rid of all at one time. But that's not showing the love of God. Jesus Christ himself. Remember, Jesus was all man and all God. So it wasn't that Jesus had man feelings. He physically felt pain. He physically felt hurt. They cursed Jesus. They spit upon Jesus. They beat Jesus. They talked about Jesus. They mocked him and made fun of him. I mean, man, we're so sensitive now. Somebody just walking in Walmart glanced at you. What you looking at? Really? I just look at your shoes, dude. They're cool. Here, Jesus was, mocked. Oh, this King of the Jews. Oh, Almighty Jesus. Oh, son of Joseph and Mary. You're a nothing. You're a nobody. You're just another that talked about and mocked and ran out of town. But yet, what does the book of Isaiah say? He was led to the slaughter as a sheep, but did not open his mouth. Think how powerful that is. It meant that he didn't try to rebel against who was rebelling against him. He simply surrendered himself into their hands because he knew the cause was at hand that was to come. Our deliverance, our salvation. So that means we, as the Bible says, and James says to listen. Listen swiftly and be slow to speak. We need to listen more than we speak. When we start, I begin to see things on Facebook today that as a Christian, as just a human being, as an American, I couldn't believe what I was seeing some people. Church, we have our opinions. My God, to tear each other down with so much vile language and hate. No Christian should ever do that. We all need a Savior. Every one of us need a Savior. No matter what side of the fence, no matter what your opinion, all the human race needs a Savior, and all of us get in the same way, born again through the blood of Jesus. And but for the grace of God, where would we have been born, how we have been born, who would we have been born to. Think about all of those things before we begin to spew out such hate, such violence. I'm talking on both sides, just hate and violence. We are to show meekness and love and understanding. From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. In other words, if someone needs something and they need more, give them more. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Don't charge them interest for blessing them. You know, Roger bought me a book, and I've been reading, it's a great book. I've been reading every day. And he bought me a book I thought was really nice and gave it to me. And guess what? I ain't got to pay him back for it, right? He's not holding over my head. Hey, Pastor, I need a favor. Remember, I gave you that book. Wink, wink. And he, no, it was a blessing. It was a gift. There was no selfish incentive of return investment. If we would learn to bless others without an incentive, without a, well, I'll do it, but you better do this for me kind of mentality, that's what's got a lot of our nation in trouble. That's the mentality. Scratch my, scratch you. Let's just bless each other and leave it at that. Period. If I want to take Roger and Lillian out to lunch and buy their lunch, I want to do that. There's no strings attached. Just because Roger's a very accomplished carpenter and contractor, can build anything, doesn't mean that's why I would take him to lunch. I would take him to lunch because I love him. And I need him next Saturday at 3 o'clock. All right. Next verse. And just as you want, now look at this, here's a kind of a golden rule kind of verse, right? Just as you want men to do to you, you do to them also. Treat others as you want to be treated. This is what Jesus is saying. How many seeds do we sow that doesn't follow this pattern? Or if we sow seeds of anger, if you've ever raised kids, you ever had brothers and sisters, there's going to be arguing and fighting and yelling in the home. Two people yelling at each other never accomplishes anything, does it? Ever. This creates more turmoil, more chaos. Nothing happens by two people yelling at each other. It just escalates things. And so when we sow those seeds like that, if Melanie snaps at me, my human instinct is to do what? Snap back. If she sows seeds of love, James, you look really hot in that shirt tonight, and you're a handsome man. All of a sudden, what you want for dinner tonight, baby? I love you. You are so beautiful, too. But she says, James, you kind of put on some weight. You ain't looking so good. Well, excuse me, Miss Size 3. I'm not going to come back with that kind of statement. I mean, we send out. We respond to what comes to us. So we need to sow seeds of love, not seeds of hate. We need to sow love and compassion, not unforgiveness. As we sow those seeds, that harvest comes back to us, because there may be a day, church, we need to be forgiven by somebody. And because we showed that forgiveness, remember the story of the king, and they had all that debt, and the king forgave the man of his debt, so I forgive you of all the debt. That man had a choice right there, because somebody owed him. So he went out, instead of forgiving that man of his debt, like the king forgave him, he went and shook it out of him. I own my money. And the king heard about it and got mad and punished that guy because he didn't go show the same forgiveness that king showed him. Our seeds are important that we sow them the right way. Verse 32. But if you love those who love you, that's what I talk about a while ago, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. I mean, you ever notice that a bad crowd loves a bad crowd? And a thief will love a thief. And a drug addict will love a drug addict. And they will give them money for their need or their fix as long as they hit them back later. So it's not easy. It's not hard to love people that either are like us or are good to us. I love my mom and dad. I love my wife and children. I love those that in my life that love me and that bless me and that encourage me. That is easy. But it's not so easy to love ones that are not like us. Verse 33. If you do good to those who is good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Once again, same way. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Pretty powerful verse. Our reward is greater later by sowing here now. Jesus says, don't store yourself up treasures here. Remember, don't lay treasures up here, but you know, store them up here, but store them up for the kingdom. See, as Christians, the seeds we sow, we got to start thinking more eternal-minded. We think about, okay, the offering plate comes by. I throw $20 in. It was hard to do, but man, that $20 does so much more than a one-time giving of a $20 bill. You are sowing into an eternal kingdom. That $20 is going to reproduce itself way more than the value of what you sowed. It's going to bring a greater harvest than that, because it's doing something that's making an eternal difference. Just like when we love someone we don't like, we're making an eternal difference. Not about, you know, well, I'm just going to do it so you'll speak to me. It's about making an eternal difference. It's about making an eternal. We got to think kingdom thinking, not earthly thinking. And the seeds we sow on the earth, like love, mercy, forgiveness, those are seeds that our reward will be great later for doing that today. Our gift for tomorrow is going to way outweigh our seed and labor of today if our heart is right. And we should give with a right heart. Therefore, be merciful. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you should not be judged. Condemn not, you should not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. This is all Jesus. Give. Now, I've been through services, I know y'all have too, and not saying this can't apply, but this verse has been taken out of context in a lot of places and been used as a prosperity verse, as a money verse, but it's not. Give. Give what? Give of yourself the things of God. We just read about what to give, right? Forgiveness, mercy, love, understanding, compassion, love our enemies, bless our enemies, pray for our enemies. As we give those things, it shall be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it, Brandon, will be measured back to you. With how you measure it out, it's going to come back to you. Overflowing. This is not a miracle financial verse. Yes, I believe as we give our seed financially to God, God blesses us and brings that back. Yes. But also as we give mercy to others and love to others and compassion to others, that floods back into our soul and it comes out to where it just overflows. It overtakes us. I say this all the time. It's so much easier just to love one another, really, than it is to hate one another. Hate takes work, really. Because you always got your walls up. You always got to be angry about something or somebody. You've always got to be negative. You always got to just be miserable. But man, when you love people and you don't have all that burden you're carrying, you just, church, I can meet anybody on the street. Honestly, me and Melanie both can. Meet anybody on the street, no matter what they look like. I can go up to anybody and shake their hand and hug their neck and talk. It does not matter to me. Anybody. I might be scared of some of them. Depends on how big they are, how they look. But I love them. And I have no problem talking to anyone, whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they look like me or don't look like me, whether they got long hair and tatted or whether they're in a three-piece suit. That don't matter to me. Because I just love people because God loved me. And my God, if He hadn't loved me, I'd be lost. If He hadn't called me, I'd have been lost. People are waiting to be called by His presence, by His voice, and we can be a part of that. We're the tools God uses to demonstrate, you mean you love me, but look at me. How could you love me? Yes, I love you because Christ loved me. And now I sow that seed back to you. I don't get Jesus to keep them inside. I get Jesus to give them out and to pour into your life what He poured into my life. We don't hoard God. We pour God. That's what we should do as Christians. Next slide, Jeremy. Brandon. Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The word mocked here, if you look it up, translation means to turn your nose up at or to show contempt. So God will not have our nose turned up at him. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Clear principle of sowing and reaping. If we sow love, we get love. We sow hate, we get hate. We sow the things to God, we get things to God. We sow to our flesh, we get that flesh. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. For who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God has a plan for mankind. And this holy Bible is a standard of living and instructions for us to live by. And if we want to live the blessed, most successful life we can, we need to do what the book tells us. It's that simple. God knows what he's talking about. I love how folks love to quote, you know, great historians or athletes or musicians or movie stars and world leaders. And, you know, we all do that. We quote different people, you know, our forefathers. You know, we'll quote George Washington. We'll quote Winston Churchill. But, man, the greatest quotes are found in this word. The greatest quotes ever are found in this word. Proverbs is full of the greatest quotes of all time. If we live by the word of Proverbs, how different our lives would be. By the words of Jesus, how different our life would be. When we sow seeds to our flesh, which these seeds I'm talking about are, of course, seeds of sin, seeds of rebellion, seeds of not listening to God. We're sowing seeds of self-resisting God and self-will, pride, all that we sow. Then we're going to reap all that junk back. And there are some people who are too proud to surrender to the hand and will of God. And as long as there's pride in the way, we won't ever hear from God the way we need to. Next verse. Let us not grow weary while doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Guess what? Our first little garden, we reaped some stuff. We had to wait a few months. A lot of watering, a lot of weeding, but we did reap some stuff. We went out there and saw our little yellow squash growing about that big. It was so exciting. Oh, we got squash. Melanie, we got squash. And that squash got bigger and bigger and bigger. We picked some squash. Then we had some cucumbers, and they grew. Didn't grow overnight, but in well-doing, watering, and taking care of it. And Melanie did most of the watering. I was proud of her. She did most of the watering. Got there in the evenings and watered that garden. And then we'd weed it, and then the cucumbers came out. Then the drought came and kind of killed everything. But anyway, we got a little bit. But I promise you, in your well-doing, you will reap the seeds you have sown. Every season is not tomorrow, church. We sow seeds. Okay, Lord, I've been giving my tithes. I've been going to church for 6 months. My life ain't changed. Just keep sowing your seed. When you bring home your child from the hospital at 3 days old or 2 days old, you don't know what you got till you're about 20. It's a grab bag. I used to love as a kid, them brown grab bags. Remember, so exciting it was in, just grab bag. You take that little kid home, little Maverick, little Hudson, oh, they're so sweet and they're so adorable. But you don't know what you really got for a few years. Because that seed's got to grow and develop and manifest into that adult. So Dee's job is to sow seed all that she can. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them right from wrong. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't talk dirty. Don't talk about other people. Don't talk bad, and, you know, be kind to one another. And you get to teach, don't talk back to mama. Don't look at mama. Don't raise your arm at mama. Don't roll your eyes at mama. Don't talk back to mama. Don't spit on mama. Don't kick mama. Don't hit mama. Don't run from mama. Don't slam your door for mama. I mean, all of that you got to teach them not to do. I mean, I'm telling you, a kid hears the word no. It's a fact. More than any other word in their childhood. No. 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 Because they're always wanting to do something that's not right. Because they're that rebellious seed, that sin nature. But keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. In due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Go to the next slide. Look what this says. Oh, I'm sorry, another verse. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. To all. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. We don't just sow seeds to people's lives that we want to. We're supposed to sow seeds to all people's lives. We can sow a seed into anybody's life, church, that we pass. We have that power to drop that seed of love, that seed of compassion, that seed of mercy, that seed of forgiveness. We have that power to drop that seed wherever we go. And I'm telling you, people are starving. They're starving to be fed with something. That's why there's so much unrest. Church, you know we're really battling in our country? We're battling a spiritual problem. A spiritual problem we're really battling. Rebellion against the things of God. Rebellion across the board. Rebellion. Rebellion across the board. I mean, as we surrender to God and put Him first in our lives, put Him first, then we would see things change and shift. We would see things be different. Especially those of the household of faith. Go to the next slide. So do good to all. Becoming. Now, I talked about what it meant a while ago about when it said God will not be mocked. One who turns his nose at God doesn't change the law of the harvest. Not acknowledging God does not cancel out your harvest. That's what he means by I'm not going to be mocked. You may not believe in me. May not believe in my word. I mean, how many folks we know are totally lost, don't believe in God at all or the Bible, and in total rebellion living their lives. But guess what? Their harvest also is reaped. God's not mocked. But just because they don't believe in God or acknowledge His word doesn't mean their harvest is canceled. It's going to still come. Church is still going to come. Next slide. Each one of us chooses which seeds we plant. Choose wisely. Each one of us choose what we plant. I know we fight some DNA issues. We fight some, you know, family inherited issues. I know some of us may have a temper like my grandpa had, or a stubborn streak like mama had, or maybe a prejudice streak like I was always raised, or a anger issue. I've got anger issues because my family had anger issues. And we can hide behind those excuses all we want. But church, when we let God really get a hold of us, He can change us. He can break family genetics. Just because everybody in your family from Uncle, you know, Leroy to Cousin Vinny had an anger issue, don't mean you got to have that. You let the Holy Spirit begin to move in your life. You really listen to God and say, you know what, Lord, I know I'm stubborn. I know I've got an anger problem. Lord, I know maybe I'm prejudiced, or Lord, I know I've got this issue, and God, I need you to help me with that. I want to start sowing right seeds. Church, if your harvest isn't working tonight, we've got to change what we're planting. We've got to change the seed we're planting. There's one vegetable we did not have in my garden. Can anyone guess what that vegetable was be? Yes, absolutely. There were no Brussels sprouts in my garden because I choose not to ever plant a Brussels sprout. Never. I choose not to plant a Brussels sprout. We chose to plant things we liked, watermelon, cantaloupe, which we didn't get any of that. But anyway, a little tiny watermelon, but like a tomato. We planted late and it got so hot and dry, it just died. But we learned, and we'll do better next year. But anyway, we planted watermelon, cantaloupe, corn, green beans, tomatoes, squash, cucumbers. We planted things we like. I'm not going to plant lima beans. I'm not going to plant Brussels sprouts. I'm not going to plant radishes or celery. Stuff I don't really like. Only time celery is good when you're eating hot buffalo wings with some blue cheese dressing. That's the only time celery is good. Cools you down. Otherwise, it's pointless. Celery is absolutely pointless. I mean, it really is. Eat a water stick. No flavor. It's pointless. Celery is pointless. Except for cooling your mouth down. Choose your seed wisely, church. You know, every morning we wake up, we need to be thinking about what are we going to plant that day. Do not let others get you riled up. As I was going through Facebook today and seeing different posts, different comments, different things, I found my spirit growing weary, and I found my spirit growing unsettled, and I had to step back and just breathe. And like, you know, church, we are Christians first. We're God's people first. And we have to always keep that in mind. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to act? What would God want me to say? I know, church, that we can get mad. I know there's things that can ruffle our feathers. And I know that we are so passionate about certain things, passionate about politics, passionate about government, passionate about race, passionate about America. We're passionate. But we got to be careful that that passion doesn't come from the flesh, but we allow the Holy Spirit to govern that. Because every seed we plant has a consequence. We don't like that, but that is our responsibility. Go to the next slide. The harvest, is that my last one? The harvest you reap will be determined by the seed you plant. Every seed produces after its kind. So if you're always an angry, frustrated person, guess what you're probably sowing most of your life? Anger and frustration. That's what you're sowing. If you're always a miserable human being, it's because you're probably sowing misery. Where do you go? Misery. You want to change your harvest, change your seed. And start planting things that are going to produce a different crop. God, I want to walk in more love. I want to walk in more understanding. I want to walk in more mercy. I know I've got bitterness. I've got anger. I've got issues inside of me that rule me, and I don't like that. And it comes out sometimes, and it ruins my testimony. It ruins my light. God, I need your help. Start changing the seeds you're planting. The Bible in the next chapter, I believe it is in Galatians, talks about the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh. And the fruits of the Spirit, we know, love, joy, peace, meekness, self-temperance, long-suffering, kindness, all that. And I know it sounds like, oh, it's a utopia world, but church, if God has changed our heart, if we say he's changed our heart, shouldn't there be some evidence of that? There should be some evidence of a changed heart. We shouldn't be the person we were. We shouldn't be that person. You know, we've been programmed by culture to look at things in a viewpoint because we were always raised that way, always taught that way. And we can't teach an old dog new tricks. Yeah, you can. We can change, church. All of us can change if we have a desire to. We got to separate how we have been raised and what we've always been taught. If it's wrong, it's just wrong. Nothing wrong with that. It's wrong. Let's change it and make it right. Every seed produces after its kind. If you are going around and you're sowing seeds of hate and anger and discouragement and oppression, if you're just always, that's what you're going to always be. It's what you're always going to reap. I'm not saying every seed we sow, we're going to see a result from, immediate result from. We're not. People are going to always talk about you. You're going to always get along with everybody. You're not always like everybody. I get that. But church, what are we sowing? Our landscape and our culture is shifting dramatically. I heard a stat today that, and you baby boomers, the millennial generation now has surpassed the baby boomers, and they are the largest living generation on the earth. And those are people born between 1984 and 2002. It's the largest living generation now. Just surpassed baby boomers. So we have this huge, and you know how big the baby generation was, huge generation. So we have this huge millennial generation that is being programmed by society, by media, and by culture. And the millennial generation and the baby boomer generation are on polar opposite sides. Polar opposites. The millennial generation is a whole 60, 70% liberal. Baby boomers are probably 60, 70% conservative. Polar opposites. I'm Generation X. I'm in the middle of the two. And our generation's half and half. We're like Arnold Palmer tea. Half tea, half lemonade. We're in the middle. So this new millennial generation that's is now bigger than the baby generation. That's the generation that's going to carry the future in. That's my kid's age. That's Shirley's kid's age. That's his age. That's the millennial generation. That's D's age. Barely. Right. What year were you born? 80. Oh, yeah. So you're in that. So that's that generation. They're the largest living generation. What seeds will that generation sow in this earth? What will they sow? We know what baby boomers sowed. And you know what? I was an 80s kid. Now, I wasn't part of the movement because I wasn't that smart. But you know what? My generation produced a lot of good geeks. A lot of smart guys. A lot of technology come out of my generation. Tons of technology. Technology changed because of my generation. But what have we sown spiritually? How's the landscape of the church going to look? You know, we're already counting down World War II people, right? Just a very few of those alive. What happens if we're still here when, you know, there's no more baby boomers? It's only D's generation. It's only Christian's generation. It's only Brandon's generation and down. What's that generation going to do with the seed they have? I hope they sow it right. I hope they plant it deep and they sow it right. The greatest thing we can do is to teach our children about God. And it's important, D, that you keep those boys in church as long as you can possibly make them come to church. I hear a lot of people, well, you haven't forced me to come. I want to come. Bull, blah, blah, blah. No. It's our job to keep our kids in church until we can't make them come no more. Then you know what? They got a choice. Our son came to visit the other night. And wasn't the greatest visit, but we had a little bit of time with him, and he brought that up. He said, y'all made me go to church all the time. All the time y'all made me go to church. Yeah, well, that's why I don't like y'all made me go. You know, Melanie said, that's one mistake, Jamie, we know we didn't make. Making you come to church. Because that gives you a foundation of truth. And whether you believe it or walk in it, we done what we could do. We sowed the seed. And that's all we can do. So sow those seeds. Because I would hear Jamie around the house when he was still living at home. He would be in his room and he would be singing some of the church songs every now and then. Remember that? Melanie would be singing some of the songs. He was in there. He's heard. Sow those seeds. Sow them and don't give up. We each one of us have responsibility with what we're carrying. There's times, church, we need to be still and be quiet. Blowing up on social media is not going to change one thing. Us being an example, showing forth the love of God, that's what's going to change something. Just love people. That's all we can do is love them. The Bible in 1 John says, love one another. Christ loved you. All righty. You wake up tomorrow, church. Pick up the right seeds from your nightstand. If it's a bad seed, leave it at home. Don't sow it. Like my old preacher used to say, he said, you know, we plant a harvest, we plant a crop, and we pray for a crop failure. I mean, let's do that. Oh, God, no. Don't let this come back on me. Oh, God. But the principle is there. And we know that. We know what we sow we want to reap. We see in our own lives. We know that. So sow right seeds. All right. Margie, come do a closeout song for us. I know you're all energetic and after working all day and driving out of town to be here. We appreciate that very much. Bless you. Rock's going up here, darling. We want to pray for her. She's here tonight. She's got to go back to the doctor tomorrow. They think she may be having some fluid on her brain retained, and she's nervous and wants us to pray for her tonight. So we're going to do that. Before she goes to the doctor tomorrow, just put her in your care. Whatever is there for you.